Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message. All right, 11:30, are you ready? All right, awesome. I'm excited that you're here, grateful that we're going to kind of finish this thing up that we started at the beginning of the month. And next week, we're starting a brand new series called Christmas Isn't Canceled. And so we're going to be looking at, for the next 4 weeks, how Christmas is, it just can't be canceled. You just can't stop what God started all these years ago. And so we're going to have a lot of fun together. And it's going to lead into our Christmas weekend services, which is December 20th. Now, you're going to get some information about that because we're doing things a little different that day. Because if you just take a look around you right now in this service, we want to make more space for every person who wants to know God during the Christmas season. So we're going to be doing an 8 a.m. service that day. So, and there's no kids programs at that service. That's for you if like you're up at 5, 6, 7. You say, I want to come to a shorter service. It's adults only there. We're going to have an 8 o'clock, and then we'll have all our normal service times. And we are going to request that everyone register for that weekend simply so that we can be prepared for what Christmas weekend looks like at Blaze Church. If you've never been here for a Christmas service, it's a whole lot of fun. We really press into the Christmas story, and it's one of the best times of year for you to invite someone to come out to church with you. So you get all those details. It'll be up on our website tomorrow. You can actually start registering. And once the spots are filled, the spots are filled. So I don't want you to say, well, Pastor Keith, I didn't register. Well, you should have registered faster. All right, so once that's up, just register your kids, your family, whatever that looks like for the service. And we're going to demonstrate grace and love towards each other. If you don't get to the one you want, there's another one for you. I promise you, we have more than enough times for everyone to come. But today, we're going to finish up this series. Tomorrow matters. And we've been looking at these principles from God's word on how we can manage the finances he's given us in a way that brings him honor. Now, I did not do a message series on how to make more money. How many of you, Pastor, where's that one? Like, how do I get a little bit more? This isn't so much about more. It's about managing well what you have. In fact, we're going to use that word a lot today, the word steward, which simply means to manage the resources God has trusted each one of us with. And so if we would apply these four principles that we're discovering together with whatever amount of money you have, you are going to find freedom in your finances. And here's the four principles. They're going to be on the screen. And this is the last time we're going to say these. So I want us to say them real loud and proud so they're not just in our mouths but in our hearts. What are our principles? Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow I'm out. One more time and one last time. Here it is. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Pat yourself on the back. You guys did a good job there. It's awesome. There you go. Just one pat. But what do these mean? Okay, if you weren't here, we first discovered that less is more. Culture says more is more. But Jesus said that the abundance of life is not found in the possession of things. That I don't need more to be satisfied. I need to know the creator and the author of life. The one who said, I came to give you an abundant life. And we learned in that first week that, man, we just got to clear out some things. We just got to get rid of some stuff because less is actually more. And the second week, we learned how stress is bad. That long before MasterCard, the proverb says the borrower is slave to the lender. And that too often we borrow and we go into debt and then we feel trapped and chained. We can't do what God's called us to do. And we heard from Dave Ramsey on how we can get out of debt, how we got to work hard and that you deliver yourself from the hand of that fowler, of that trap. And I really encourage every single one of you, if you have not taken Financial Peace University at any point in your life, it is worth taking. Whether you think you understand your finances or not, there are principles that you will grab from that. Everyone who took it, give me a good amen right there. All right, there's some people who have taken FPU, and it makes a difference. Last week, we learned how giving is good, and specifically how giving through a local church that you can trust is good. It is for the life of a believer. And we saw how Paul used the Macedonian church and put them up as an example for the Corinthian church and said, you got to give like they gave. Just be radically generous. Give beyond your ability. And we're celebrating that in 2 weeks, we're closing in on our beyond goal of $30,000 so that we might become Blaze Church portable. And I truly believe this in my heart. We're not gonna hit 30,000. We are going to go beyond that in Jesus' name. And we're going to take those resources and we're going to help this church in Africa get built and get started so that more people might discover God. In fact, I just peeked at the P&L in between services and we're already halfway there to that goal, guys, in 3 weeks. So that's awesome. There's already 15,000 that people have given. And so I'm real, real excited for what God's going to do. Today we're on our last principle, and it's this: tomorrow matters. This might be one of the hardest ones to apply today because we're not talking about today, we're talking about tomorrow. And I think one of the biggest challenges that we face in society, and there's a whole lot of challenges, one of the biggest ones is this: we're spoiled, everybody. Come on, it's okay to say that. We're a little bit spoiled. In fact, how many of you have ever seen one of these or own one of these? A little smartphone, a little cell phone here that lets you kind of do anything that we couldn't even think of doing 20 years ago. And maybe if you're like me, if this thing doesn't respond within 0.3 milliseconds, I get frustrated with it. Why isn't my app opening? What's going on here? Because we're so programmed for instant gratification. Come on, don't make me feel like I'm the only one. Who here, when you're shopping on Amazon, if it doesn't say 2-day Prime, you keep scrolling? If I can't get it in 2 days or less, I don't want to even look at the item, right? I mean, we are so prone to instant gratification that we have Keurigs that make us an instant cup right away. Just push the button. I don't want to wait for the whole brewing cycle. And what's the opposite of instant gratification? It's delayed gratification. That word simply means that we deny the temptation for today to experience the reward of tomorrow. Right? Like I've done that at different times in my life, my fitness goals, where I've said, you know what, today it's not about 3 bowls of ice cream. I'll stop at 2 because I want the reward of later. I want the reward of how I'll look in a month or a year from now. And when it comes to our finances, this is the normal narrative of our finances. It's 3 words: treat yourself. Come on, how many here has you've been treating yourself all weekend long? Just the cyber deals are coming and the Black Friday specials, and I can figure out a way to get this and have that. And come on, so often we lean into that lie that everything I have is all about today. In fact, maybe you've lived this way or know someone who does, where it's just living for the weekend. Have you heard that phrase before? You get your paycheck on Friday and by Monday it is gone. You have spent it on a great weekend and now you're going to work for the weekend. You're just going to make it to the next Friday, get everything, and just spend it all. And here's what Scripture says about that way of living. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Now, I didn't call nobody a fool. Jesus did. This is just, but we all understand this, right? A foolish way to live is to say, everything I have right now is all about me, and it's all about today. I don't have to think about tomorrow. I don't even know if I'll be here tomorrow, so I might as well enjoy life now. And that really is an attitude that goes against tomorrow matters. So what we want to do today in this service is we want to discover some values that can help us live with a tomorrow matters mindset. Because the truth is, every one of us are going to see some form of tomorrow. And while culture says just spend and enjoy today, God's word has something different to say about tomorrow. So we're going to reject normal. Normal is spend everything you get right here. Worry about tomorrow when you get there. We're going to apply the principles of God's word to say, no, tomorrow actually does matter. I want to be wise today so that I can be used by God tomorrow. How many of you would say that's how you want to live your lives? And not just in our finances. I want to kind of zoom out for just a second. Everything we're discovering, yes, we're speaking specifically about finances, but tomorrow matters for your relationships as well. How many know if you're married or single with friendships that the way you treat others today is going to impact the relationship tomorrow, right? The level of forgiveness that you employ or the level of bitterness that you hold on to today, it impacts tomorrow. Greed decisions today impact tomorrow. So this is really about all of life and about how we honor God and not live normal, but live as trailblazers for Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the words of Jesus in a parable that he told where we can discover why tomorrow needs to matter, specifically if you are a follower of Christ. So if today you've never put your faith in Jesus, maybe it's one of your first times in church, you are going to get to see the beauty of following Jesus, the way that he invites you to follow him and to know him. And if you do know Christ, then this really is a description of how we are to live our lives today because tomorrow matters. Does that make sense? I can't go on if it doesn't make sense. I need you to give me some of these. All right, awesome. Everyone bobblehead right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to read a story that Jesus told. It's a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he tells this parable in the middle of teaching on his return. Matthew's chapter 24 and 25, Jesus gives this beautiful teaching about how he is the returning king. And we can have a whole lot of fun and a whole lot of discussion over what that's going to look like and what happens when and what this means that. All I know is that Jesus is coming back, everybody. In fact, if you go on our website and look at our end times belief, it simply says Jesus is coming back. Because that's where I feel most comfortable saying, I know that he is coming back. And so Jesus teaches about signs and all this stuff, but then he goes into these parables, which are stories to reinforce the teaching he just gave about his return. And we're going to read one of those. It's known as the parable of the talents. And while its primary message is about the return of Christ, it also speaks to how we should live our lives, which impacts how we should manage our finances. Because the way you manage your finances is a way that you honor or dishonor God. Is that right? We would agree on that. Like, God gets every part of me. It's not just I say a prayer and then I go on living how I want. No, now I've surrendered my relationships, my finances, my time, my scheduling, all of it. I want to live in a way that honors God. So we're going to pick up this parable in the middle of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 25. He says, again, he says that because he just told the story of how he'll return. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his, say that word with me, ability. Okay? And then he went on his journey. Now, if you've heard this parable as the parable of the talents, the New International Version just uses the word gold because talent was a form of currency. Scholars believe that 1 talent might be the equivalent of about 500,000 U.S. dollars today. But regardless, what we're getting from this is the master is going away and he's entrusting to different servants different amounts of his wealth according to what they're able to do. Now, notice, nothing in this story says that one servant wasn't worth more or one servant wasn't good enough. No, none of that. It's just the master knows his servants and says, for you, you can do really well with 1 bag of gold. You could really hit it out of the park with 5 bags of gold. Now, the next part of this story does not say, and the servant with the 1 bag was filled with envy, jealousy, and hated the servant that had 2 bags. And the one that got 2 was so discontent with what he had that day that he just wanted to get more for himself. It doesn't say any of that. Because in order for us to live with a tomorrow matters attitude, we need this value alive in our hearts, and it's this word, contentment. If we are to know that tomorrow matters, we have got to be content today. And this is exactly the opposite of what normal is in our culture. Normal says YOLO, right? You only live once, so just get what you can today and do what you can. I heard Pastor Chris Hodges of Church of the Highlands preach a message about a couple years ago now. He called it YALT. And he said, you actually live twice. He came against that YOLO narrative. He says, no, actually, tomorrow does matter. And we're going to see that in the story spiritually. You are not just here today, gone tomorrow. No, you are an eternal being, and tomorrow matters. We'll see that at the end of Jesus' story. But these servants, they understand I have to be faithful with what I've been given. I have to be content with the amount I have. I can't get my eyes on another servant and say, but how come they got 2? How come they got 5? If I had 5, I'd be a lot happier. I need more for me today. We've got to understand the principle of contentment. Paul says it this way to a young pastor. He says, but godliness with, what's the word? Contentment is great gain. He's given us a really basic math equation. Godliness plus contentment equals great gain. What are each of those words? Godliness is living a life that is faithful to God, that honors him, not based on your abilities, but based on the Holy Spirit at work in you. The life of a believer is simply a surrendered life to what God is already accomplishing through us. Like, you did nothing to save yourself, and you can do nothing to keep yourself saved. It is all a work of God's grace, and that's amazing. It's all Jesus laying down his life, us receiving the free gift, and now his Holy Spirit produces in us the fruit and the gifts that we need. It's godliness and contentment, meaning that we don't go around like, what was Veronica Salt from Willy Wonka? I want a golden goose now, Daddy. Like, too many of us, we go around that way. And it's just, well, I just need more. Like, everything you've given me is great, God. But if I just had a little bit more, then I would be gained. No, you don't get gains that way. You have great, the gym people just chuckled at me. You get gains. You experience great gain because you're content. because you recognize, man, either God's a liar or he's telling the truth. When Jesus says your heavenly Father already knows what you need, and according to his riches and glories, he will supply all of your needs, we either believe that or we don't. And if we believe it, then we say, I can be content with what you have entrusted to me today. Now listen, this is not a message against having nice things today, but it's a message about wisdom today. It's a message about saying, well, why do I need this? Why am I going to just forget about tomorrow and not honor God today? And so these servants, they're entrusted with different amounts of wealth. And then the story goes on to say, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. And so also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. Okay, so these servants right here, we're talking about the first two for just a minute, they're content. And notice what they do. They take what they've been given and they invest it. That's really, they're turning over a profit. They're being faithful with it. And it says that they put their money to work. Like they take the master's goods, they take the gifts he's given them. They say, we're going to put these things into action so that we might have more for when the master returns, so that we might be faithful with what he's given to us. Now, listen, being content cannot be synonymous with apathy. Well, I'm just going to be content with God's given me. I'm not going to do anything with it. Or a lack of ambition. Well, God's given me this, and I can't really work with this. No, it's not that. Being content has to go hand in hand with this word, being committed. Commitment to hard work. Commitment to faithfulness. Commitment to saying, tomorrow matters, and the master is going to return, and so I'm going to be faithful with what God has entrusted to me. I'm going to be committed, so when he shows up, I say, I don't just have what you gave me. I've got a whole lot more now. You trusted me with this, and I've been faithful with this. Now, to see this truth, we're going to look at one of the smallest examples we can find in this world, the ant. Proverbs chapter 6, the author of this proverb says, go to the ant, you sluggard. I don't know when the last time someone called you a sluggard was, but if you know what that means, that was an intellectual insult. You sluggard, really, you just lazy person. Go to the ant. Why should I go to the ant? Consider its ways and be wise. What does the ant have to teach us about commitment? Well, it has no commander. It has no overseer or ruler. Really, what we're learning is the ant has self-control, self-motivation, self-discipline. It's in charge of itself. It knows what it needs to do. Like, there's not this ant back there saying, Jerry, we need 1,000 grains of sand today, and you better work hard on this. It doesn't need that. It just knows I've got to do certain things during certain times in my life. It says in the next verse, even without all that, it stores its provisions in summer. It gathers its food at harvest. See, the ant understands that there are ages and stages to its life, and we need to understand that as well if we're going to adopt a tomorrow matters attitude. You know, 3 times over, speaking in a room and our online family, we're all in different ages and stages in some ways. Like some of you, you're just starting on a career path. You just got done playing with Monopoly money and now it's real. Right? We're just, okay, now I got some real money. What do I do with this? For others of you, you're in the age and stage where career's coming to a close and now you're looking for retirement accounts to pull from and investments that you made earlier in life. And this ant understands there's a season where I'm storing up because there's going to be a tomorrow where I want to pull from that store. Scripture says that's a wise way to live our lives. Like this is just reading scripture for what it is. This is consider the ant and be wise. That for all of us, in some way, there's going to be a tomorrow. And because tomorrow matters, I'm going to make decisions today so that when I get to tomorrow, the outcome is different. Come on, if you make decisions today financially, you understand that that impacts your tomorrow financially. Like if you sign on the line and sign up for that thing, 60 months, 2.5%, okay, well, for the next 60 months, that's a decision that you made in one day. And all those tomorrows are impacted by it. And again, this isn't to say don't buy things. It's to say use wisdom. We go to the ant and we use wisdom. And so for these first two servants, they took their 2 and their 5, and they were faithful with it. But what about our third servant? It says, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he thought that was the best way he could protect what the master had given him. But just get the image there. He digs this hole, and he buries the 1 bag that he's been trusted with. Instead of putting it to work like the other two, instead of being faithful because there is a tomorrow and tomorrow matters and the master's returning, his plan is, I'll just hide what's been given to me. And we're going to see what motivated him to make that decision as Jesus concludes the story. But his decision was, I'm just going to hide this here in the ground. And we read in the next verse, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. If you're in a stage right now where you feel like you're just pouring into a 401k or an IRA, and it's just kind of, man, this is a long time. I could be using this money for something else. It feels pointless. At times, living with a tomorrow matters attitude does feel long and pointless, right? Just paying down this debt doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. I could just be enjoying life right now. No, that's normal. Not normal is saying tomorrow does matter, and at some point, even if it's after a long time, the master of those servants is going to return, and it's going to be time to square up. It's going to be time to see, what have you done with what I have given you? And for the first two servants, they hear the words that I'm anxious and longing to hear Jesus say to me one day, and I'm sure you are as well. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Remember, the big idea of this message is Jesus is reminding his followers, I'm returning. Here's how you live a faithful life before I return, and I am coming back. And here's the words that you will hear when you live as the two and the five bags of gold did. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Come on in and just enjoy my happiness. Enjoy the joy. Reap the benefits of all the sowing that you did, all the faithfulness. With all of those todays, tomorrow's here. Really, this word, I think it best put it this way, it's commission. It's payday. So there's a contentment attitude. There is a commitment to hard work. Why? Because we know commission is coming. Because we know that there is a reward. Because Jesus promised that he is a returning king and his reward is with him. And that he's just seeing his people live in a way that honors him. Now, what about our third guy? He kind of defends himself in this moment and explains why he dug that hole earlier. It says, then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. I love the audacity of this servant. He's like, I know your business plan. I know what you're like. You're just kind of trying to take things in. He thinks he's figured him out. So what does he do? So I was, what's the word there? Afraid. Afraid. Notice the motivation for this servant is not the gospel. It's not the love of God. It is fear. How many of you, maybe there was a point in your life where it was the unhealthy fear of God that often motivated a lot of decisions. Like there was a lot of guilt and a lot of shame when it came to your relationship with God. We call that religion. It says you should be afraid of the return of Christ. You don't know if you're ready. I can remember being a kid and just being like, Jesus, don't come back because I am definitely not ready. You wake up in the morning, the house is quiet. You look for mom because if mom's still here, he didn't return. Right? You just go around and just, okay, I still got some time. I can figure this out. But not today. Maybe next week, Jesus. Come on, church. I don't want you to hear this story today that Jesus told and leave here with fear that our returning king is coming. We call this the blessed hope. Jesus Christ is coming back. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we're not saying, don't come because I'm not ready. I'm afraid. We're saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. In fact, that's how the Bible ends. John has no other words to say after he gets glimpses of heaven except, come, Lord Jesus. Like, come on, that should stir something in our hearts to live with faithfulness, not with fear, as we manage what God has given us. This servant was motivated by fear, even though the master was kind and gave him what he had. It was the master who started this story. It was the master who gave to each one of these servants. No one worked for it, not one servant. They received. And so what does the master say? You wicked and lazy servant. You sluggard. You wicked and he looks at him and says, because of that fear, because you took what I trusted to you, just buried it, just hid it, really denied the gift, that's wicked, that's lazy. And then the parable ends this way. The master says, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. To which in me, I'm like, that's kind of harsh. All because he didn't turn a profit? All because he didn't double what you trusted to him? This language that's being used there, weeping and gnashing of teeth, that's common Jewish language, metaphoric, to just illustrate eternal punishment, just outer darkness. If I was the South, I would say ganashing. That's how you make it even stronger, the ganashing of the teeth. It's not about fear here. It's really about the faithfulness of our servant king. Because I want you to see something. There's not just three servants in this parable. There is four. The fourth one is Jesus Christ, our king. He's the one who came to this world, and he didn't take what the Father gave him and buried it. He himself was buried in a tomb and overcame the grave, ascended to heaven, and promised, I will return. Right? That is the gospel, that he came and laid down his life for us so that we might be servants of the servant king. And he says, I don't just call you servants, I call you friends. Right? Paul says that we are co-heirs. Really, Jesus is our older brother. And all the inheritance that he should get, we actually receive through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And notice the story doesn't start off with the servants working hard to get the master to acknowledge them. It starts off with the master giving. You've got to understand that piece, or all this is going to do is just motivate you through fear and through guilt and through shame. And religion does a great job at that, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is that the master came first and that he gave. Do we take what Jesus gave us, that gift, and just bury it in the ground, discard it, and say, I'm not going to use this? Or are we faithful with what God has given us? This isn't a call to fear. This is a call to faithfulness. This is us knowing Jesus will return, and I want to remain faithful to my God in every area of my life. See, if you take these principles that we're learning about finances and start applying them to every area, they work. Think about it. Tomorrow matters in your relationships. The bitterness you hold on to today is going to impact the relationships tomorrow. And the forgiveness that you release today is going to impact the relationships. The way we make decisions parenting today is going to have impact tomorrow. The way you have work ethic now at your job is going to impact tomorrow. God has called us to be faithful in the way that we live. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So this third servant, really what he did was he took the gift of God's grace and discarded it. He said, I don't need that. He was really more focused on himself. He was afraid. So let's zoom out for a second, go back to our finances. Here's a question. What is it that you're saying no to today so that you can say yes to it tomorrow? Think about that. What are the things that when they come, you get another inbox and it's got a bunch of emojis on the subject line, cyber deal, right? Once in a lifetime opportunity. What is it that you are quick to say no to today so that you can say yes to things tomorrow? And if that question can't be answered so easily, let me ask it in a harder way. What are the things you should be saying no to today so that you can say yes to them tomorrow? Or say yes to other things tomorrow. And yes, in your finances, but also in your relationships, in the way that you work, in the way that you love others, in the way that you share the gospel and be a trailblazer for Christ. I want to summarize our whole series in one sentence. It's this. Everything I own is not for me, and it's not for now. That's all four principles wrapped up in a sentence. Let's say it together. Everything I own is not for me, and it's not for now. I want to show you how the four principles work in this. Everything, less is more. That doesn't mean I need to own everything. It just means everything that I do own, none of it owns me because I live with a less is more attitude. Like, I want you to think, if you could walk in my house today and point to something and say, you know, Pastor Keith, I could really use that. I need to be quick to say, go ahead, it's yours. Or it owns me. If I could, let me give you the older model of that. Go in the drawer and pull out the iPhone 6. That's the one you get. No, I want to know that everything, and what is it I own? I know for me, too often, Sally Mae has owned stuff for me, and Citibank's owned stuff. And I felt like I owned it, but I was really just a slave to the lender. So we want to get out of debt. We want to actually look around. Think about that day where you can do that debt-free scream on the Dave Ramsey show, because you know everything I own, I actually own it. Like, there's no more payments for this. It's mine. I own it. But it's not all for me. That's why giving is so good. Because I understand that when God calls me to give, as we get ready for Beyond Sunday and December 13th, when God calls me to give, I know, of course, that's a principle that I have in my life. And this one, it's not all for now. Dave Ramsey says it this way. Live like no one else today so that you can live like no one else tomorrow. Come on, while the rest of the people around us are living normal lives and carrying a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of debt and refusing to give through a local church and just YOLO, just living for today, we reject that and say, no, I'm going to live like no one else today so that later in life I can live like no one else. That's what it means to not be normal. And so here's the prayer I'm going to invite you to pray every day this week. It's simply this. God, I don't want to be normal. Come on, when it comes to my finances, I don't want to be normal. When it comes to my relationships and forgiving others and loving people who are nothing like me, they make different decisions on their relationships, on their lives. I don't want to be normal. God, when it comes to all the polarization of our country, I don't want to be normal and get into all that. I want to live different. Now notice, I didn't say, God, I want to be weird. We all know some weird Christians. None of them have to come from Blaze Church, everybody, okay? This is not a call to be a... And if you're going to live that way, please remove the flame off the back of your car. All right, just do me a favor there. We're building a brand for Jesus that doesn't look like that. We want to be not normal, but in a way where people look and say, how come you live and give that way? How come there is so much peace in your life? How come opportunities can come and you can practice commitment and contentment? Well, it's because I know tomorrow matters. I know that there is a soon returning king. I know that as scripture says, life is just a vapor. It's really just a mist, and that we're just a blip in eternity. That God has so much for me, and I want to live a faithful life today because tomorrow matters. How many would say that's the way we want to live our lives? Amen. So we're going to pray this prayer together. We're going to pray, God, I don't want to be normal. And allow the Holy Spirit to start showing you the areas where you've grabbed onto too much normal. Maybe you got to go back in the series and say, yep, it's too normal to own all this stuff. I got to give some away. It's too normal to just put something on a credit card. I've got to cut those up. It's too normal to refuse to give through my local church. It's too normal to just live for today. I don't want to be normal. We're going to sing a song about how God got us out of normal. And the song is called Egypt. How God just brought us out of Egypt, brought us out of that old way of living, the normal patterns of living. And as we worship with this song, I want you to think, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. These are promises of God's word. And it's not about self-motivation, it's about gospel motivation. John 1:12 says, for all who believed and received him, they were given the right to be called the sons and daughters of God. Like, this is the gift the Master has given us. And so we are going to steward it well. We are going to be faithful in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. So would you stand with me as I pray this prayer over us, that we would just not be normal, and you would put your mask back on as we get ready to worship with one last song. With 2 weeks to go till Beyond Sunday, I'll tell you what, church, it's going to take a whole lot of not normal people to fulfill the goal that God has put in our hearts. Like, I want a whole bunch of not normal givers to say, no, I want to give beyond. I want to see this Blaze Church portable happen, and I want to see a church in Africa be built for the gospel to advance, not just here, but truly around the world. It's going to take you to not be normal, for your life to be different. But the beauty is, God has already prepared the way for you. Like, Jesus already accomplished all this. The life of a believer, faithfulness, is simply the call to surrender. That's what it means to be a Christian. If you're trying to figure out, well, how much do I have to do? The answer is nothing. Christ did it all for you. And after accepting his gift of salvation, we are called to surrender, to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit in our lives, not through fear and guilt and pressure, but through the faithfulness of our God, through the great love that he has for us. So as we pray this prayer, God, I don't want to be normal. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit show you those areas that you and I need to surrender to God? Maybe for you, it's just in your thought processes. It's in the way you respond in situations. There's someone in your life that you haven't forgiven. There's just a void that you feel is going to be filled and satisfied by a job change or financial change. No, surrender that to the Lord this morning. Normal says you've got to work. The gospel says receive the work that's been done for you. And so say these words with me. God, I don't want to be normal. One more time. God, I don't want to be normal. Father, that is our prayer this morning. We don't want to just go through life with an old pattern, with a normal way, with culture's way. We want to honor you. We want to live faithful lives. You are the master who will return. And that doesn't fill us with fear. It fills us with faith to know this is our blessed hope. You have promised this. And Lord, we want to honor you with everything you've given us, each according to our abilities. Lord, I come against the spirit of fear that would have us hide what you have trusted to us. Lord, we want to step out and we want to shine bright for you. We want to use every gift, every ounce of what we have to bring you glory, to see that reward, to take 2 and turn it to 4 and 5 and turn it to 10. Lord, we can't do it on our own. So we are saying this morning, we don't want to be normal. We don't want to trust in us. We want to trust in you. Holy Spirit, would you show us the areas in our lives where we've dug a hole and we've hid things? Bring it to the surface right now, Lord, that we might confess it, find freedom, find healing, discover purpose, begin to make a difference with these things, all because we know you, our servant King. It's in your name we pray this. Amen. I want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus this morning before we worship, because this parable really is an eternal parable. There is a tomorrow. There is a moment where Christ is returning. We understand the words of Scripture, that we are saved not by our own works, but by the great work of Jesus Christ. I've heard this question before. How could a good God send people to hell? When you look at the story of Scripture, God sends no one to hell. We reject his gift of salvation. In some ways, we kind of send ourselves there. We reject the abundance that God has for us now and that is waiting for us in eternity, because we won't accept the free gift of God's love. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. You can't work enough for the grace of God. It is a gift, Paul says. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you are saved. And so this morning, I want you to know, tomorrow does in fact matter. Not in a way that makes us fearful, but in a way that makes us faithful. In a way that says, I know Jesus Christ. I'm going to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And so I want to invite you to put your faith in him this morning. If you've never confessed him as Lord and Savior of your life, that as our church prays, may this not just be a prayer we say, but may it be the truth of our hearts, confessing our sin and asking Christ to forgive us. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today, I give you mine. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name, amen.